This is the reason most people don't understand Bitcoin and why a lot of them lose money on it. It's because they listen to these, you know, misinformed donkeys that are pushing a narrative rather than the truth.
This is the system reset. Like, it is happening. It's not like one day you wake up and they decided to flip the switch on the system reset. Like, I think it's a series of many events.
I also wonder if this is why we're seeing some rumors of compromise on the Clarity Act. I think that both sides know that they have to do something. They have to keep printing money.
Imagine accepting to be extorted like this. Like, what does that say about you? Bitcoin and self-custody, folks, it's the only play available. There is no other workaround. You either learn this the hard way or you try to figure it out when you're homeless.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, up first, my man, Larry. Let's watch this video of Larry Lepard. Greer, what's the guy? What's the Bloomberg analyst's name?
Mike McGlone.
McGlone. Yeah.
Here it comes. Okay.
This is good.
Yeah. And it's done this 7 times before where it had a decline.
Yes.
What's that? ETFs. ETF growth may be slower
ETFs.
Right now.
ETFs. Matthew Pylon, and then get me out.
Yeah, they were, but it was the fastest growing.
They just it's fastest. Marked the peak. This is things we predicted 5 years ago.
Mike,
ETFs going mainstream, best practice in history.
Mike,
retail, Joe Schmo jumps on board. Things over.
Mike, there you are. I'm fucking done with you, man. I really am. You won't even let me finish my comment. Fuck you. I mean, fuck you, man. Seriously.
Now I gotta moderate. We have another topic that I wanted to discuss. That I think we can all agree on, and well, I'll be saying F you's too, which is the
next. Bye, guys.
Okay, hey, Larry, you're out of here. All right, no Bye problem. Here. Appreciate you.
So Larry just gets up and leaves. He's had enough of these fiat bros dunking on Bitcoin, interrupting all the FUD. Tony, what's your take on Mr. Larry Lepard?
Absolute savage, man. I would have done the same. I probably would have, you know, told him off a little longer. But I would have exited the same way. The problem, like these dorks, these TradFi idiots that are out there, this is the reason most people don't understand Bitcoin and why a lot of them lose money on it. It's because they listen to these, you know, misinformed donkeys that are pushing a narrative rather than the truth. You know, Bitcoin is not an asset. You know, it doesn't belong in an ETF. You know, when you're buying an ETF, you're not buying Bitcoin, you're buying an IOU. The same, you know, same rubbish that you should be looking forward to exit. And so, but as long as people think these clowns are, you know, credible sources, reputable sources, well, of course, they're going to be doing the wrong thing over and over again and then complaining why nothing really changes. So the fact that Larry got fed up with him and told him off, you know, good on him, man. No one should be listening to these clowns. Like, the attention should be the farthest thing away from anything TradFi talking about Bitcoin.
Yeah, Larry's feisty, but he's an awesome, patient guy. And my suspicion is he's just reached this point. He's heard this so many times that he's just done. It's like the Peter Schiffs of the world who have led so many people astray, or at least delayed their entrance into Bitcoin, and so much wealth lost for so many people, in my opinion. Greer, what's your take?
Yeah, the people who hate Bitcoin the most are the ones who sold it too early and don't want to buy back in, or they saw it and just ignored it. You know, and now they're dealing with the fallout from their poor decisions, which, you know, I can understand that. But to me, this is like if you wrestle a pig, you know, you're both going to get muddy and the pig likes it. Like, the worst thing is arguing with someone who's so intractable when it comes to Bitcoin that they're not even open to honest arguments. And I think Mike has said that Bitcoin should be around 10K. And I'm sorry, we're not going to 10K. The writing is on the wall. Yes, Bitcoin is below all-time highs, but that's nothing new. Bitcoin dumps, it dumps 50%. And those are the times when you want to allocate more resources to it. So, I think Larry probably, you know, he resorted to the one thing he had left, which is the big FU, but it looked like it was called for in this instance.
Yeah. In fairness, I hope we dump to 10K, buy some more cheap sats. I hope that happens like the day of payday for me.
You never know.
You never know. But I suspect you're probably right, Greer. All righty. We talked about the Netherlands unrealized capital gains tax last week. And in addition, they're introducing an exit tax. So basically, if you're a wealthier asset owner, productive member of society, and you say, hey, I don't want you to steal a third of my wealth, well, we're going to tax you. It looks like it's coming for 5 years after leaving the country, expected it says it's expected 2025. So I think this was actually, the announcement was made probably in anticipation of the unrealized capital gains taxes. These things all take a while, obviously, to play out. Greer, go figure. What's your take on this?
Yeah, it looks like you've got until 2028 for this to take effect. And it, I mean, we saw an article about the finance minister who lied on her resume, who was the one that was going to implement or oversee this tax. So I think the whole thing is really up in the air at the moment, but they need your revenue. They need your income. They have to pay for housing, for illegal immigration in their country. And this is the way to do it. It's to fleece the people. So, you know, this is theft. It's and, you know, going after them after they leave is punitive. This is immoral. And, you know, I feel for anybody who's caught up in this situation. It shouldn't happen in the West. You know, this type of thing happens in California already. So, yeah, just absolute nightmare scenario. It makes you wonder, where can I put my money and where can I live where I can be more free? I think that's the next step in anyone's journey who's on this.
What's amazing to me is that there are people who believe that because they wrote this down on a piece of paper, they have some sort of authority over you once you leave. I mean, to me, that's just mind-boggling at this point on my journey. Tony, what is the solution to this forced theft?
Man, the more we read about these stories, I'm hoping at least more folks will finally understand that they have no governments, that you're dealing with criminal organizations that are full out extorting funds from you. This is essentially the exit tax. I see it as a form of kidnapping because, you know, they keep you locked into a system that you want no part of. And its only objective is to fleece you so that, you know, you are essentially like a cash cow for these parasites, which contribute absolutely nothing to society other than, you know, play God over your life. So anyone with half a brain and the means to protect themselves, you know, they should absolutely be scrambling to do so. And those who are okay with this, well, I mean, that speaks volumes, first of all, to their own character. And as far as I'm concerned, then they will lose the right to complain about anything that, you know, comes after something like this, if it ever, you know, manifests into law. Like imagine accepting to be extorted like this. Like, what does that say about you, right? So Bitcoin and self-custody, folks, it's the only play available. There is no other workaround. You either learn this the hard way or you try to figure it out when you're homeless.
You're right. And we're actually going to be talking about this. We've got a live stream we're doing next week with our friend Adam Hudson from Unemployable Media. And he's going to talk about how he was able to leave Australia, not identical, but similar circumstances, and why the plan B has been so important, and why Bitcoin and self-custody is the only way that you can move your wealth. If you've got it in real estate, if you're tied up in legacy financial assets, I mean, you're screwed because they can forcibly tax you then. They can't force you once you get out of there. So the Netherlands, to me, is just creating the most compelling case for Bitcoin in self-custody, being your own bank, everything that we've been preaching for quite some time. All righty, up next, we have Jason Lowry. So he says, AI agents independently discovering that Bitcoin gives them cyber sovereignty and then starting a bidding war with humanity over the only remaining Bitcoin available is not priced in. So Tony, not only are you going to have your infinite number of AI bot girlfriends, but they're also going to be toxic Bitcoin maxis. Like, can you ask for anything more? What do you think?
Man, if you thought merchant adoption of Bitcoin was bullish, this is on a whole different level. You've got super intelligence, fully automated systems here that are using incorruptible and unconfiscatable money to transact. What this unlocks as potential, I don't know, man. There's no vocabulary word that can properly describe how insanely revolutionary this is and how you are nowhere near being bullish enough on the result of a world, you know, with these guys running around and doing this stuff. Bitcoin is the future of money. That's something I was sure of, you know, when I landed on Bitcoin 5 years ago. But to see it unfold in such a powerful way like this, that was not on my bingo card, but I'm definitely excited that it's coming.
So Greer, I don't want to throw you off of any comment you already had, but what I'm curious about is the mechanism by which the AI agents accumulate the Bitcoin. Is the thesis that that in some way they're being funded with fiat, which is the typical way that people accumulate Bitcoin now? They exchange their fiat for Bitcoin. Or is it that these AI agents are going to be of the intelligence to produce value, work for, you know, independently for other people and be paid in Bitcoin? And that's how they effectively drive up the prices through demand side adoption. Do you have a comment on that? And then,
yeah, sure. I think it's good to think through this. So if you know Bram Kanstein, he put together a tool where you can fund your AI agent with a Bitcoin wallet. You know the private keys, but you give your agent control over the wallet and it can perform tasks for other AIs. But I think that the opportunity here is, you know, develop something using AI, a service to other AIs. And if you have Bitcoin, you know, this could be a great way to earn marginal sats being a broker between these agents. There is a person on the other end of this who controls the Bitcoin, I think, at least in these early stages. But the fearful thing is if you as an individual have less Bitcoin than the AIs, you know, the old saying, he who has the gold makes the rules. Well, I think the same will be true in the digital age that we're entering. You know, he who has the Bitcoin makes the rules. So I would say this is something we should all be looking into. How can we provide value in a digital economy using AI agents that have custody Bitcoin that you've provided them? The opportunity here is endless. I think that we'll see a ton of innovation. And yeah, I mean, AIs eventually, you know, will figure it out and they will demand only Bitcoin because it's the only thing that's open source. That is immutable, and there is no company holding them back like what you'd find with crypto or stable coins. So I think, you know, we're at the early stages, obviously, but this is going to be exponential towards Bitcoin's growth and adoption.
Yeah, only two guarantees in my mind. First of all, the future is going to be crazy. And number two, by the year 2028, I intend to join an Amish community. So that's my game.
Not a bad plan.
All righty, we've got Ray Dalio. He's been talking about this for a long time, but he has some, you know, new videos, new quotes that have come about. He says he issues a stark warning amid global system reset. He says, sell debt assets and buy gold. The world order as we knew it is gone, and we are heading into very, very dark times. I think we can all agree on maybe two of the three. But Tony, we're heading into this new world of AI and everything's going to be digital. And his advice is you should buy a rock. how would you maybe modify his statements here?
Man, I agree with everything except for that one line, but I have a feeling, you know, it's just because, I don't know, man, maybe old age, maybe something else, but, you know, holding on to relics in a digital world is absolutely not the way to go. I mean, these precious metals, you know, will be reduced to just that. Maybe a limited utility value. I don't think they go to zero, but, you know, they'll have very limited use in a world where super intelligence now is transacting with Bitcoin and, you know, folks are starting to understand that this is money and that that's how they should be treating it, saving in it and what have you. Nobody's going back to a typewriter or a fax machine, right? I mean, whether you like it or not, this is the world that we're headed into, and people should be excited about this because for the first time ever, they have an option to be in full control of their lives. Something that gold or, you know, any other system prior to Bitcoin never provided. So I'm very bullish on this. This is an extremely bullish signal, even though there may be dark times ahead for those that are unprepared. Unfortunately, you know, that's just how things play out. But I don't know, man. I hope less people get hurt by this, but I just don't see how it's avoided.
Yeah, clearly Ray has not accounted for AI agents competing with humanity for all of the Bitcoin. Otherwise, I think he would be recommending something else. Greer.
Yeah, gold is old. I'm sorry. And I think it is the transition between the fiat world and, as Ray outlined, the old order and the new future. And the new future is digital. There's just no way around it. And gold requires trust. That is the biggest problem with gold, besides the fact that it's heavy, hard to move, requires physical security to protect it. You need to trust someone that the gold is, in fact, real. And the only way to do that is to melt it down. So I think the systemic problem with gold is that it doesn't fit into the future. Bitcoin does, and it is so much better than gold. You know, to raise credit, I think he has 1% of his wealth in Bitcoin. If he studied Bitcoin more, I think that number would be quite a bit higher. But, you know, I think he's right about the new world order emerging and the old order ending. That's clear. Everybody knows it. I don't really think there's a lot of news here. You know, we see this happening in real time. And for you, the individual, it's just a question of, do you want what's old and what worked in the past? Or do you want something that's emerging where you have an asymmetric opportunity to benefit the sooner you adopt it? To me, that is the question.
I think I raised this point on a recent banter, or I was talking to someone somewhere, and we hear about these, you know, like these system resets, and everyone's like, well, when's it going to happen? Like, when's the big print going to happen? When's the system reset going to happen? And I'm like, the Netherlands is confiscating a third of your wealth, right? Like every year they're taking a third of your, like, this is the system reset. Like, it is happening. It's not like one day you wake up and like they decided to flip the switch on the system reset. Like, I think it's a series of many events that unfolds over months. At this point, I would say several years, because I think it's been happening. And one day you wake up and you realize, oh, I live in a very different world than I lived in, you know, 5 years ago. And my purchasing power is just, it doesn't get me to the end of the week, to the end of the month.
Yeah. And by the time you reach that point, Bitcoin will be unaffordable to you.
Absolutely. Right. So, and it's not necessarily anything sophisticated that has to take place for the system to fall apart. It's just that most normies, first of all, are unaware that these things are going on. And until their turn comes, you know, they're not going to believe it. This is the harsh reality that I don't like, is that those who need to heed and prepare aren't even listening to this type of information. Like, they have no idea. They're going to wake up one day in the same way I did, with, you know, like a Thor hammer on their life, and everything is gone or confiscated. So the red flags are everywhere. You know, when you start seeing, you know, digital IDs to search for a search engine, when you start reading about, you know, unrealized capitals, gains tax, when you start just these horror stories, you hear about them abroad, you assume they're not coming home. But I can assure you that they're coming everywhere, because that's the only way the legacy system tries to survive. And so if you don't protect yourself, no one's going to give a shit about you. You go down, too bad. That's going to be the end game. And I know this because that was my experience. Nobody was there when I needed help. So unless you help yourself, you're on your own, my friend.
Well said. Well, if I could direct everyone's attention to Exhibit A to further make the case that I was trying to make, the U.S. national debt is set to surge by $2.4 trillion per year over the next 10 years, according to CBO estimates. Now, the CBO is always wrong about everything that they've ever put out. However, this is probably a conservative estimate. They tend to downplay the mayhem that's most likely. It says, as a result, U.S. debt will likely reach a record $64 trillion in 2036, doubling from 2023 levels. So this would be triple the debt recorded in 2018 before the pandemic. I mean, these are wild, unfathomable numbers for the human mind to comprehend. Suffice it to say, in my view, the big print is going to have to happen along the way. It's not this one-time thing, because that's the only option, I think, at this point. And more people are going to opt out of the dollar system. We're going to see, you know, de-dollarization globally. We're going to see more people opt into Bitcoin as they learn and understand what it is. But Tony, I sent you this article, and all you sent back was a laughing emoji. So I'd like to hear what your thought was.
And this is the best ad for Bitcoin. You know, like, what better news can you possibly read to incentivize you to opt out? Man, the U.S. has been bankrupt for a very long time. You know, whether it's $38 trillion or $64 trillion, like, it's like, who cares? It's laughable at this point. Your money is already worth nothing. So just adding more zeros to make a headline is a waste of time. If you were to confiscate every American citizen's bank accounts and their assets and everything they can possibly own, you still wouldn't come within 1% of paying anything off. That's how bankrupt you are as a country. And that's the world reserve currency. So what's the point of all of this, right? It's just that people complain. And what they do is that they shrink their lives into their new shitty reality instead of seeking for solutions to improve their realities. This is the majority of the NPCs out there, unfortunately, sadly.
Yeah, but just
yeah.
Tony, you're right. Hit fast forward, start living in the future today, buy Bitcoin, take self-custody. I mean, that's where we're headed. I think the point you're making here is otherwise you're just playing this game, like you're watching this and you're just falling victim to the thing that you know is coming.
You're wasting time and you are guaranteeing your demise 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Greer, so they're tightening the shackles on us and our children. What's your response to all of this?
Yeah, I think the estimates go up. I don't think 2.4 trillion a year is going to be correct. I think it's going to be a lot higher than that. I also wonder if this is why we're seeing some rumors of compromise on the Clarity Act. I think that both sides know that they have to do something. They have to keep printing money, and that will give them a way to do it and to be able to offload our debt onto other people. You know, the dollar is a Ponzi scheme. You know, that who owes the $34 trillion where we are today, or $38 trillion? You know, who gets that money if it's paid back? It's foreign countries, it's central banks, and a lot of it is tied up in U.S. pensions. So, we're going to get a haircut. Somebody's going to get hurt by this in a big way. The only way I think you can protect yourself is to take your money out of the system. If you don't have any dollars, then it doesn't matter. You can go into Bitcoin and just wait. I think also this is a perfect time to get into Bitcoin. We know it's going to go up again. Maybe it will be farther in the future than we want, but you have a chance to secure your stack. So to me, that is the only thing that you should be thinking about. How can I get more Bitcoin than I had yesterday? You know, this house of cards is going to collapse, and you don't want to be sitting inside of it when it does.
Prudent advice. All righty, we've got from Cointelegraph, this is the first year in history, and by the way, we're halfway through February, but first year in history where Bitcoin has seen a red January and February. Greer, do you care if we have two back-to-back red candles?
I mean, of course I care to an extent. It doesn't make me fearful for Bitcoin's future. You know, I look at this as sale pricing. This is your chance. You should buy when Bitcoin's red and hold on to it when it's green. I think that that's as simple as it has to be. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is enter at the right price, which I'll just say, honestly, I have been very good at buying the tops, very similar to Sailor. But, you know, after being in it for 4 or 5 years, it doesn't really matter if I bought at 55, you know, and I think that that will be true. It's like a fractal. Every 2, 4, 10 years, we're going to zoom out and people will be crying when we dip from 800,000 to 600,000. And they'll say Bitcoin's dead. But of course, if you've been holding since today, it won't affect you. And so, depending on where you are in your journey, you can't just think this thing is going to get you rich overnight. It takes time. It takes education. But the two red months in a row, I'm not a chart bro. I don't look at the lines. It, you know, all I see is a sales price.
Absolutely. Tony.
Man, looking at these charts is why most people don't understand a thing and why most people keep losing money. Bitcoin is the money. You know, it's not a stock. Like, what kind of chart are you looking at and for what reason? And as long as you keep believing that Kool-Aid, the narratives that they feed you, and keeping you distracted from, you know, the fact that it's a savings technology that, you know, significantly improves your purchasing power, well, you know, you're always going to be anxious and depressed and upset whenever you see red on the screen. The colors don't matter, man. When you start saving in Bitcoin, over time, I'm not saying overnight, over time, your purchasing power is going to go up. So it doesn't really matter what the macro and micro external factors are doing. It really doesn't matter because your situation is improving no matter what, because that entire system that, you know, these charts is pointing to is going to zero. And so as long as you keep fitting yourself on that failing chessboard, well, you're going to go to zero along with it, or you're going to force you to make irrational decisions that'll accelerate you going to zero or losing a significant amount of your funds. Step out. Live in the future from now, which is what me and millions of others are doing. And no, you don't necessarily have to be an archi-millionaire or billionaire to do it. When you have enough savings over time, you are comfortable. You're not buying Ferraris and Lambos every weekend. That's for sure. But you're also not struggling to put food on the table, to spend time with your loved ones, to go out with your friends, to experience true freedom, right? That's what Bitcoin is. And all the messaging out there is anything but that, because they want you, you know, stuck in a system of counterparty risk and dependency on, you know, the corrupt, you know, system that wants to just keep that chain over your neck. So ignore the charts, ignore the TA, ignore anything and everything that talks about Bitcoin other than freedom money. That's the simplest way to win in Bitcoin.
Absolutely. And just keep in mind too, when we show these charts, it's usually to tell people to stop worrying about the charts. It's just, we're acknowledging what the rest of the world is looking at and overly focused on. So there's that. Okay, guys, up last, we've got Steak and Shake says that their sales have risen dramatically since it started accepting Bitcoin as payment. And as we've talked about, Bitcoin payments for Steak and Shake burgers go into their strategic Bitcoin reserve. I told you guys offline, I hadn't had Steak and Shake in like a decade. And this truly is the cheat code. If you're early, you're going to get so many Bitcoiners who come. I've been there 10 times in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months. And one quick note, just fun fact for everyone, beef tallow is super nutrient dense. It also is very high in calories. So be careful, be safe out there, eat in moderation, just saying. Greer, I'll let you take this one first as hopefully a fellow Steak and Shake patron.
Oh yeah, I love Steak and Shake. And I think it's great. They went to tallow. And I think it's the signal, you know, and I can't say exactly what their Bitcoin treasury is. I want to say I saw something like 500 million in Bitcoin, and I could be wrong about that, but I know that they have a good portion of Bitcoin already set aside, and they've been doing this for like less than a year. I think the example is, if you have a business, you should accept Bitcoin, and then a portion of that should go into your treasury, or in their case, they don't sell any Bitcoin, they just keep it all. So they have enough customers paying in dollars to be able to offset all of their costs. And you know, this is the model that every business should be running on. Provide a service and accept Bitcoin and save that Bitcoin for the future. I mean, you know, Steak and Shake is just, they're showing the way, and they're also giving bonuses to all of their employees. Like this is just such a fantastic American story. I hope more companies adopt it before it becomes the norm. You know, it's still early, and you have a chance to be a market leader, as they've shown.
And if you want to, you can take it a step further and you can print paper Bitcoin in the form of perpetual preferred stocks. So there's always that option too. You don't have to stop with just taking self-custody and having your own treasury. You can go try to get other people in on the scam if you want.
Ouch.
Tony.
I love reading this news, man. I wish I could go and have a meal at Steak and Shake. But, you know, smart money already sees where the puck is going. And I'm sure there's, you know, tons more like Steak and Shake that are just not as public, right? Recently, we heard something about the major chain in France, the Carrefour, the supermarket, that's not only accepting Bitcoin payments, but is offering up to 20% discounts to incentivize folks to pay with real money, because they don't want to be stuck on a sinking ship, right? So more businesses should be doing this, and the sooner they start, you know, the bigger the stack, the bigger their savings in the future of money is going to be. Bitcoin's a protocol. This is how everything starts, and then it goes from, you know, little trinkets of news to boom, everybody at once is doing it.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's a good place for us to wrap. For everyone who tuned in, thank you so much for being here. Do me a favor, go check out we're promoting it now. Go sign up for our newsletter, but we've got our webinar with Adam Hudson next week, where he and Tony are going to be together. They're going to be talking about Plan B, why Adam chose Panama, why self-custody, and how self-custody enabled the life of freedom that he now lives. It's going to be awesome. They're going to answer all your questions, so make sure you go check that out, get signed up. I'll link to the registration page below, and stay tuned for another episode later this week. Thanks, guys, for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. It's great.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.